Everybody, welcome to Magic the Amateuring, episode 33. That's two threes right in a row.
Woo! And it's...
That sound of a mysterious ghost was actually Ben.
He is a mysterious ghost. Well, I'm not sure he's mysterious. He's mostly a ghost.
Mostly a ghost.
Hey, Ben, how's the ghost life?
My name is Ben. I've been playing Magic for 58 years.
That explains why he's a ghost.
I'm Maria. I've been playing Magic for 9 months.
My name's Megan. I guess I've also been playing Magic for 9 months. I didn't stop to count, but Maria and I started playing at the same time.
We did, and our ghost friend.
The same moment.
The same moment we were born.
That's true.
Out of the magic womb into the world.
We're twinsies.
We were twins.
You were stranded outside on the ice planet Hoth.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I appeared to you in a vision and taught you how to play magic.
Yes.
Which kept your mind off the fact that you were hallucinating and dying.
But now somehow we're not dead.
And then came along a Tauntaun and we played a game of magic with it.
Yay!
And I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
Everybody, this show is about Megan and my journey to become better magic players, and we're taking you along with us, hopefully teaching you a few things and giving you a few smiles along the way.
So if you are new or recently returned to magic, maybe you'll identify with Megan and Maria.
Hi.
Hey.
And if you've been playing forever and are just annoyed by new people, maybe you'll identify with me.
On our show today, we're going to talk about win conditions. Mm. What?
What?
What are some? How do you get them? Why? Why do you need to think about it?
Well, I want to win.
Yes, that's a good point.
Okay.
We're also going to talk about card advantage, do some card of the week, euphemisms of the week, and we have some exciting changes.
Changes? Ghosts.
We're all ghosts.
I'm sorry, we spoiled it. That's the change.
Yup. Everybody, we're living in a new place today. Today is the day when we moved into our new home.
Yay,
nice. Yay, I'm just like a hermit crab moving into an old middle school that used to be a high school.
I'm just like a person who has boxes of things that they put in a truck and then take to a new location.
Yeah, what we're trying to say is that we're hosted on a new website today, and we want to say yay!
Yay!
Ben is more excited than he sounds. We're hosted on a brand new website, themeadery.org.
How do you spell that?
M-E-A-D-E-R-Y, like as in the drink, mead, ery.
But there's a the?
Yes. TheMeadery.
Okay.
.org.
I think I got it.
It's not just any place where you could get a drink.
No.
It's
specifically
the
place.
Hooray.
The place.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's a brand new website that our local game store just launched. Our local game store is Mead Hall in Minneapolis, Minnesota. If you're bi, you know, if you're here, stop by.
If you're bi, like bisexual? We'll accept you.
Yeah, that's cool. You should.
But
come.
If you're any other sexual orientation, check it out.
You can also stop by the store.
But mainly, we want to see you if you're
Look,
bi.
If you're bi, talk to Maria.
And if you're just anyone at all, you can talk to Ben or I.
Yeah, we're fine. We're cool.
We're good. No matter what.
Yes.
We're a little more... Marie has more specific taste than we do.
I do. You know what? I'm at the point in my life where I just feel like I should just say it. I don't want to hide behind anything. I just want to say I prefer...
If you ain't bi, don't try.
What I meant to say is, if you're here, stop by.
Oh, that would make more sense. It'd be less offensive all in one little package.
Oh, stupid mouth. Anyway, we're hosted on their new website. It's pretty cool. You guys can check it out. They've got a social network, so you can join and you can be our friends and talk about magic. We have forums, all sorts of interesting things. Post pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You chat.
Chat?
See photos? You already said that.
I'm going to post a picture of a blue whale.
Okay.
Nice.
Right now?
Is it one that you've seen or just like a picture?
Just a picture. I've never seen a blue whale, so
yet,
I'm less
thanks
excited.
For bringing it up. That's
well,
a
no,
life
that's
goal
okay.
of mine.
Well,
if anyone has access to a blue whale, let me know.
Ben would like to see it.
Yeah. So if you're maybe uncomfortable with always posting about magic on Facebook, perhaps Think about the meadery. And post as much as you want and no one will judge you.
Nope.
That's true. They're also working on their online store, which is real pretty.
It's maybe the prettiest magic card store I've ever seen.
It's super pretty.
You guys, you have to go just for the pretty.
It's pretty.
Anyway, we're going to have our show posted there every Monday morning, so this show is posting earlier than our shows would normally post, which we've been usually posting around Thursdays or Wednesdays. Now we're going to post every Monday on themeadery.org, so you can go there to listen. We're also going to post...
Glimpse the future.
Megan and I are also going to write a weekly article on the site.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. We're going to do some typity-typing.
Got to brush off my old dust fingers.
Yep. Oh, what? Maria, don't use your dust fingers.
Are you guys
fingers.
Writing these articles from a 1930s newsroom?
Yes.
I am.
Maria, you need to not use your dust fingers.
Why?
I told you, your dust fingers just get dust everywhere, and they never last that long.
I know, but they just seem so much more appropriate on my old typewriter than modern fingers.
Look, Maria, can't you just use, like, some, like, bacon and waffle breakfast fingers?
That's... You're a woman. What are you doing in a newsroom?
Yeah, exactly. You should be making bacon and waffles. Bacon and waffle fingers.
Oh, God, bacon and waffles, you guys.
I would eat those right now.
Right now?
Do you want to go get breakfast?
Let's go get some breakfast.
Okay.
Okay. side note, so check for us. Every Monday, we'll be posting an article. So not only do you get some Magic the Amateuring in your ear holes, you also get some Maria and Megan in your eye holes. That's a promise.
Wow. Okay.
We have a group on the meadery, Magic the Amateuring Groupies. So
a group on?
We have a group. A group on.
Oh.
Yeah. You can join
a
group.
It's free, so you wouldn't need a group on.
No, you don't. Okay. You don't. But you can join our group and like give us ideas for future shows and that sort of thing.
Oh.
And just give us a
and
chat.
You can take 3 weeks of classes on how to do couples massage. 40% off.
Wait, I'm going to learn how to do couples massage or I'm going to get a couples massage? Because if it's the first one, this Groupon is not something I'm interested in.
Yeah, and the worst part is they don't even provide the other half of the couple.
So you better bring someone.
Or else you're going to have two people massaging you? Wait a second, that sounds awesome.
That does sound awesome.
Wow.
All right.
Megan is
excuse
done.
Me, it's me and also me, so I'll just have both massages.
Do places do that? I bet I could request it.
Guys,
you could request a couples massage for your, just
guys,
you?
I think the couples massage lessons are like, hey, we'll teach you how to massage each other for sexy time purposes later.
Wait. But I want Maria to book a couples massage just for herself.
I want four hands, because two ain't enough.
What are we talking about for the noobs today?
We're going to talk about wind conditions.
Oh.
What? Wind conditions?
No,
when it's windy?
No.
Because it was the other day, and I would have liked to know beforehand.
Yeah, I would have liked to apply something to my hair that would prepare me for
a
the
hat,
wind.
A hat?
No, some wind conditioner.
I would have liked to know if I should have turned on or off my special cooling unit, which is specifically for windy conditions.
Oh.
My wind conditioner.
Oh. You guys.
Yes?
What's a wind condition?
Well, it's... Okay, first of all, let's just clarify.
Yeah.
When we say wind condition, we're not talking about anything like rules-wise. It's not going to say wind condition on the card. But
that would be handy.
That would be really useful.
I
wonder if I should pick this card or this card.
Well, this one says wind condition.
I should pick it.
Yeah, but there's this 1-3 for three.
So,
oh, God, I don't know.
So in magic, in deck building theory, this is a little more advanced concept. But when you're putting together a deck, you want to have an idea of... You want to be asking yourself the question, how is this deck going to win?
Yeah.
So, what are some, like, in your guys' experience over the last 9 months, how have your decks won when you've won games? Or when you've been beaten, how did you either win or get beaten?
Sure.
I have either outclassed or been outclassed by my opponent's creatures.
Okay.
I feel like that's a pretty straightforward one.
Yeah, yeah, that's straight up.
It's like, oh, you cast more and bigger creatures, and I cast smaller or fewer or crappier creatures.
Yeah.
So, there's one.
I think my few... Well, okay. I have had bigger creatures with enchantments on them that they couldn't deal with. That was one of my... And tricks. That was my tricky deck. And also, I had a control deck that did all right that gummed up the ground and hit them in the air with flyers.
Okay. So I'm writing down some key phrases that you guys have said.
Okay.
Okay.
Outclassed.
Right.
Yeah.
They couldn't deal with.
Yeah.
And flyers.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So let's talk about those three things.
Okay.
Okay.
First of all,
wait, can I put one more keyword? Answers.
Answers.
Ooh, answers.
That's very good. That's
good one.
Very good.
Good one.
So first of all, let's just define some of these. So like when we say answers, we mean something like a removal spell. Like, oh, yes, you were going to kill me with that creature, but I killed it first.
Yes.
Exactly.
Or maybe you have like an 07 wall. You were going to kill me with that 6-6, but I have a wall of frost. And so now I can just block it all day.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Every day I'm blocking you. Anyways, that just jumped into my head and I felt the need to say it.
So if you're playing a game of Magic, you're going to be, at any given point in time, you're going to be in one of a few different phases. In the early game, you're in the development phase. You're playing out lands. You're putting down your first few creatures. No one is threatening to win the game anytime soon because the creatures that you're playing out are going to be answered very easily, right?
Yeah.
If I play out 2/2 on turn 3, what percent of the cards in your deck are going to answer that card?
A lot.
Probably more than half spells are going to be able to block it, trade with it, remove it.
Oh, that's an interesting way to think about it.
Right? So playing that out isn't really me saying, oh, I'm going to win the game with this card. It's more me saying, well, I'm going to keep at parity with you so I don't fall behind. Or maybe if I manage to play enough cards like this, then I'll overwhelm you and beat you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we talk about a win condition, we're not really talking about cards like that. So later in the game, once we're, you know, you're either in a stalled board state where the two of you are kind of at parity, you both have a bunch of creatures out, but either you can't really attack because, you know, they'd be able to block in a way that's advantageous to them, and they can't really attack because you can block in a way that's advantageous to you, or maybe you're just each doing a few damage every turn.
They call that a stale cracker.
Yep. Stale cracker syndrome.
Which is also what you call a white person that you're bored of.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
I know a lot of stale crackers.
Me too.
Anyways, Ben.
So what you would really love, what would you, if say you're in that position.
Parity.
You're in parity. No, maybe you're doing a few damage each turn, but no one's really getting ahead necessarily. What do you really want in that position?
A bomb.
A bomb? Okay, sure.
Yeah.
What else? Say you couldn't get a bomb, what would you settle for? Or specific, like, what... So, like, what would be the specific characteristics that you would want in your bomb?
Something with evasion.
Evasion, this is great.
Yeah, evasion.
Because if you have something they can't block, now you're going to be ahead, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So some of the best win conditions are just creatures with evasion.
Okay.
Even a two-power flyer... Can be a win condition if they don't have a way to deal with it. If they don't have any flyers to block, they don't have a guy with reach.
Yeah.
Can I tell you that sometimes a flyer with one power can be a win condition?
It's true.
I'm going to hit you with this Suntail Hawk 20 times.
It's true. The difference between a one-power flyer and a two-power flyer is with a one-power flyer, they have twice as many turns to draw
an answer. That's so weird.
What?
I mean, okay, the difference between a one and two power flyer is literally it takes half the turns.
Yeah.
That is bizarre to think of it that way.
Yeah. And so, you know, if you have to do 14 damage to them with a one power flyer, you're giving them 14 draw steps to draw a Doomblade.
Right.
If you have a two power flyer, now they only have 7, which means, you know, if they only have one Doomblade, it has to be in the top third of their deck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it makes a huge difference. And once you get up to like a three power creature with flying or with intimidate, which there are a few of in M14. Now you're really talking about something different.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So this is kind of the canonical example of a win condition card. It's like, oh, I have a 3-power flyer or, you know, 3-2 intimidate guy. This is going to help me finish the game if we end up in a parity board state.
So a win condition is something that when you're putting your deck together, say in sealed or draft, you have to ask yourself the question, how does this deck win the game?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, is it just because I curve out perfectly and I'm able to beat down really hard?
Yeah, and in that case, if you do have an aggressive deck that, you know, they have a lot of low, inexpensive stuff, you probably don't need a card that is a win condition on its own. Because your plan is to play out a bunch of cards and overwhelm them.
Right.
In that case, what you might want is maybe just a few combat tricks, giant growth, some, you know, removal spells to help you make sure all of your guys can get through.
So the win condition is overwhelm them and then play a trick on them if I don't know.
Yeah, but that's when people talk about win conditions, that's usually not necessarily... they're talking about specific cards.
Okay.
And that in that case, you just have more of a cohesive game plan than a single win condition.
Okay, well, that's something, you know, that's what I thought about once when I did build a very aggressive green-red deck, and I thought to myself as I was drafting, well, how is this deck supposed to win? Say they have, like, really good flyers, or they have evasion. I can't, you know, how am I going to deal with that? So my answer was to, besides taking my beefy green dudes, was to take tricks that I could play on them. And so it was like making that conscious decision during draft to think about how I was going to win and what else I needed to put into my deck to give myself the opportunity to win.
Nice. Other good cards, you know, if you're doing this plan, you know, cards like Lava Axe, where you're just doing direct damage to your opponent, those cards can help. I think like Volcanic Geyser would be a decent card. You want ways to finish the game, but you don't need ways to finish the game by themselves. So when we talk about win conditions, you know, in your deck, you're probably never going to get to parity because your goal is to have more stuff out for the entire game. And then if you ever do get into a situation where you're in parity, you might be in trouble.
Yeah.
Unless they're just at a few life and you're in a position where you can just finish them off. So win conditions are really more for controlling decks, where your goal is to get to that parity state, and then from that point, you can try to take over the game, either by drawing a lot of cards or by, you know, playing out a threat that just can't be dealt with. So, I'm going to ask you guys, there was a card in Return to Ravnica Block draft that was, it was a rare, but it was the winningest condition card that has been printed in a long time.
Okay, do we get to guess?
Yeah, go.
Pack Rat.
Guess. Pack Rat? Okay, what do you think?
Obsidian Ghost Council.
Ooh, so these are both pretty good answers, but the card I was thinking of was Aetherling.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure.
You know, so because
you can't get rid of the fucker.
Yeah, it's much harder to answer. Obsidian's pretty hard to answer. Pack Rat is also hard to answer, but.
Aetherling it's like almost literally impossible
to answer.
Stupid hard.
Yeah. It's you basically have to counter it, or you have to catch them with their pants down, which if they play conservatively is very hard to do.
Yes. Yeah.
But it has everything you want. It has evasion. It puts them on a very fast clock if you have enough mana to spend. And it can protect itself. So there are very few cards that can actually answer it. And
are there any?
Because
it for one, it gets hexproof. Is that it?
Yes.
No. For one, you exile it, and then it returns.
Okay.
So usually you can't kill it without spending multiple cards just to kill the thing.
Okay.
You can sometimes slow them down. If they go to pump it, then you can say, okay, well, now I'm going to try to remove it. And then they have to blink it out and then wait till their next turn to actually do any damage to you. But... you know, it brings inevitability, which is a key word when you're looking at a win condition. You're like, okay, if I have this card in my deck and the game goes on forever, eventually I'll win because I have this card.
Yes.
So we've talked about kind of the traditional evasive creatures.
Yeah.
That's the classic win condition. Another you know, really only like, really only white, blue, and black has these like flying evasive creatures.
Yeah.
Sometimes red has intimidate.
Red does get intimidate once in a while. There's a few intimidate guys in this set.
And green, it's not evasion, but green has trample.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Red actually has a problem with having win conditions. It's kind of the nature of the color. They're very like short-sighted philosophically. Yeah. So they don't always have cards that can long-term get you. But you know, you always have another color, so you just get your win condition from that color usually. Or you have big expensive spells like Volcanic Geyser, for example.
Every time the red leaders sit down to talk about their group philosophy,
they never get to that part of the agenda.
No, they never get to that part of the agenda.
They spend the whole time on...
they just fight one another.
On last-minute actions.
That too. They sit down, and everyone's just like, someone raises their hand and is like, I would like to propose...
Fuck you.
Exactly. And... Fuck you! And then I pull out a knife.
And then they're lucky if they manage to order a pizza by the end of the meeting.
But I didn't bring donuts. I brought donuts.
Thank you. Fuck those donuts. Fuck those donuts.
If you're in green, green doesn't never has flyers. They sometimes have like these pseudo flyers
like
that can only be blocked.
Spire tracer. Yeah.
But what they do have is big creatures and trample creatures. And trample is a form of evasion. It's a way to get damage through.
Yeah.
And big creatures also give it a certain amount of inevitability.
Yeah.
To a certain degree, if your opponent has enough creatures, they can often double block or triple block and trade with your guy. But at that, if they do, you know, if your opponent does that, then you might be far enough ahead because you managed to trade one of your cards for three of theirs. So, okay. And then in a super controlling deck, you might have alternate win conditions like cards like Millstone, where you're going to mill them out.
Yep.
Planeswalkers are a great example of this, because usually the ultimate ability of a Planeswalker
is just a win.
It's so advantageous to your board position that it's going to put you in a position to just win the game. Cards like Elixir of Immortality.
Yeah.
This is the card where you gain 5 life and then you shuffle it back into your deck.
Don't you shuffle your whole graveyard?
You shuffle
back
your whole
into
graveyard
deck?
Back in your deck. So what this allows you to do is
not get milled.
Yeah, it prevents you from getting milled out so that your opponent's going to be in a position to get milled out first.
Yeah.
Now this is a very iffy win condition.
Yeah.
Because it relies on them basically having no win conditions of their own that you can't deal with. So you can only count that as a win condition if you have an insane amount of answers in your deck.
Let me tell you a little tale.
Sure.
About something.
Sure.
I played Magic the Gathering online. Username horny_unicorn. You come say hi. And I played a very controlling white-blue deck. Now, I think I had just about every foreseeable possible wall, every blocker known to man and God. Yeah. So we had Wall of Frost. I had 3 of them. We have Angelic Wall. We have Wall of Swords.
You had 3 Wall of Frost.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What were the other dumbasses?
And like over here, Claustrophobia, I had on a guy. I'm showing a picture right now to Ben and Megan from our Twitter account. Follow us at MTAcast. You can also find this picture on themeatery.org if you go and sign up and become my friend. Pacifism, Disperse, Time Ebb. And I was looking at this and, you know, I ended up winning this game, thank goodness, because I did have some flyers to come in over the top of this enormous wall, which he could not do anything about. But the second game, he milled me to death with Millstone because I couldn't get my flyers out fast enough.
Yeah.
Now, is this just unlucky or did I have too much control in my deck?
Well, he actually, if I was playing against your deck, I might board in Millstone against you.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because I knew, like, your deck's slow. This is a pretty slow win condition, but it's going to be faster than your win condition.
Right. And it was. He beat me with Millstone.
Especially if he mills out. Like you were saying, you didn't have that many flyers to get over the top. If he mills out your flyers that can actually deal damage.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the question is, how many win conditions does your deck need?
Right.
And this is a great question. And I would say it is inversely proportional to how aggressive your deck is. So we were talking earlier about like
the green red deck where you just have a bunch of combat tricks and a bunch of small creatures. In that kind of deck, I don't think you need any win conditions. You just have this cohesive strategy and you don't have a backup plan. If your deck is a little slower, then you probably want, you know, a few evasive guys to deal with. If your deck is super controlling like yours is, you might only need one win condition. And then the rest of your cards just protect that one win condition. Hmm. Now, if your opponent played a Millstone and you didn't have a way to deal with it, that would be a hole in your control plan.
Yeah.
And that might indicate that you need a few more win conditions, right? So you might want a few more cards I can attack. A couple of 2-power flyers.
Yeah, I think I had 6 flyers that could come in for damage.
So did you have any answer to Millstone in your deck?
No, I didn't. And there is nothing
any,
I could...
You didn't have any counterspells?
Okay. I don't know if I had... No, I had no counterspells, but I had stuff that could time ebb and like put a creature back in his hand, disperse.
But that doesn't handle
just a spell.
Like, it's not a creature.
Right. So and I didn't have anything that could destroy an artifact. I don't know if blue or white does.
Well, disperse can bounce an artifact.
Yeah, but...
You could counter the artifact.
Coming back in.
And white occasionally gets ways to destroy artifacts, but I don't think there's any in M14.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I was basically just SOL.
You would have just had to counter it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I was just like, well, there we go. You know, there's nothing I can do.
Nothing I can do. Yeah.
But it was just hilarious to me that I was pretty proud of that wall of China I built. I mean, it was pretty impressive.
Genghis Khan was not getting cast
out. He had all his dudes out there, like, they were huge, too, and they're, like, literally nothing. Nothing he can do. And my wimpy little flyers were like, choo, choo, choo.
Yep. Anyway. So that's the key, is you want to put enough pressure on them that, you know, these win conditions like Millstone don't come out of nowhere and get you.
So perhaps I needed more counter spells to get rid of that thing happening.
Or if you just had a couple, you were blue-white?
Yeah, I had 6.
If you had like an Air Servant.
I did.
Or a Sarah Angel.
I did.
But you didn't have them out when you won.
No.
When your opponent lost, right?
No.
Or when your opponent beat you.
No, I didn't.
So if you had one or two of these in your deck, then their Millstone is worse, right? Because their Millstone's going to be a lot slower.
He probably milled them right out.
Than an Air Servant or a Sarah Angel.
With only 6 dudes, even if they are as good as both of those cards, if you don't have them,
you don't have them.
You only had 6 dudes?
No, I mean like dudes who could get in for damage.
So you only had 6 attackers?
Right. That's too little, I think.
That is a very small number of attackers.
Yeah, I mean, if he's playing out Millstone on turn 7 or something, he's probably putting you on like an 8-turn or 7-turn clock.
Yeah,
you want to be able to beat that. You want something that could put him on like a 5-turn or 6-turn clock, ideally.
Okay. All right. I was a little late on my juice.
So cards like that, Messenger Drake.
Yeah.
We talked about enchantments a little bit, but enchantments are good because you can, you know, put like a Mark of the Vampire or a phantasmal armor or something on one of your evasive guys and make it much more threatening. Demand that they have the answer immediately.
True. I don't know if there is something that's that great in white or blue to put on.
Well, I just said phantasmal armor.
Okay, besides that.
Okay, I don't know if there's like a million.
Wait, are you talking about illusionary armor?
Illusionary armor, yeah. That's it.
Okay. That would have been insane.
That would have been pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Isn't there a white enchantment?
There's Divine Favor.
Divine Favor.
Isn't there another one?
Plus 1, plus 3.
Blessing. But that card's not very good.
Yeah. I think those are the only white ones.
Those are probably the big ones.
What I'm trying to say, you guys, is be thoughtful about how your deck is going to win when you're building it in draft. Like, you can have as many good creatures as you want, but you need to have, like, either a plan, like we said with the red-green, or you need to have a win condition, meaning I'm going to block the ground and hit you with flyers. And having a win condition and having a plan makes knowing which hand to keep so much easier, too.
Yep. How so? Tell us about that.
Well, it takes a lot of pressure off. Like, I mean, knowing if you should keep a hand is kind of a stressful thing when you draw your first seven cards. Like, sometimes it's a very easy keep or a very easy throwback, but sometimes it's not. But if you have a plan in mind, it's a lot easier to know, is, does this set up my plan to win the game or does it not?
Yeah.
Helps you know which to keep and which to throw back, I think.
All right, so I've got a stack of M14 cards. We're going to play a little game.
Oh, shoot.
I love games.
Games.
I like soccer. Are we playing soccer
with
them? Are
we playing basketball
with them? The game is Twister.
Badminton?
Yeah. Oiled Twister.
What?
All right, I'm going to pull out two random cards, and I want you guys to tell me which one is a better win condition.
Oh!
Yay!
Okay.
All right, so the first card is Scroll Thief.
Okay.
All right, and then the second card is Ground Shaker Sliver.
Ooh, 5/5 Trample versus 1/3 Draw Card-er. I would say on their own, Ground Shaker Sliver.
Yes, the sliver, unless you have a buttload of Train Condors.
Exactly.
Okay, even if you have a buttload of Train Condors.
Yeah, it's that's true.
It's just better.
Yeah, so what makes the Ground Shaker Sliver a better win condition?
It's gonna get in there for damage, man.
They have to answer it. They have to be able to deal with it. They don't have to be able to deal with the Scroll Thief.
Ah, not true.
Oh.
You have to be able to deal with the Scroll Thief, right?
But it's so much easier to just keep blocking a 1/3.
Exactly.
That's true.
Yep, that's exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly right. All right, so now let's look at another random card.
Everyone play along at home. Get out your knowledge hats.
Trained Condor.
Speaking of Trained Condor.
Or Pitchburn Devils.
Oh, shit.
Aw, snap.
Gosh, I really like Pitchburn Devils.
Mm-hmm. The cards are Trained Condor is a 2/1 flyer for 3 mana. Whenever Trained Condor attacks, another target creature you control gains flying until end of turn. Pitchburn Devils is a 5-mana 3/3. When Pitchburn Devils dies, it deals 3 damage to target creature or player.
This is really hard because I think towards the end of a game, I've seen Pitchburn Devils make a really big difference.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people use it with sac outlets to just deal a final 3 damage to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, oh, it quote-unquote died. Really, I just got to sac it and deal you 3 damage to your face.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if it's in the middle of a game, I'd rather have a Trained Condor.
Man, this is tough for me because I played with both, and y'all know how I love red. But Pitchburn Devils, if my opponent plays Pitchburn Devils, I'm not happy about it.
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, what can I do? There's nothing I can do. Either I have to let it hit me and have it kill something, or not. Trained Condor, I'm a little more okay with seeing. Unless, of course, they probably have, you know, like some big dude that they can use Trained Condor with. But I don't know. In a draft, I probably... Oh, man. I don't even know! This is too hard. Okay, I'll go Pitchburn.
Interesting. So, I think the Trained Condor is a better win condition. Pitchburn Devils, I think, is a better card.
Okay.
Because, like you said... You can get into a position where either you're going to be trading one card for 2 cards of your opponent's, or you might be able to deal, you know, the final amounts of damage to them. But I think that in terms of inevitability, like say you're at parity, say you're not within like lethal range and the boards are about even, you can probably afford to trade 2 creatures with Pitchburn Devils. But if you don't have an answer for Trained Condor,
you're in trouble.
Yeah, so you can answer the Pitchburn Devils just by being at a healthy life total and having a couple creatures to trade with it.
It's gonna hurt.
It's gonna hurt, but there are more ways to answer it, I think.
It's like a root canal.
Yeah.
It's gonna solve the problem, but it's gonna suck.
Whereas a Trained Condor is like having Lyme disease.
Yeah. Yep.
How? It just is always there.
No one believes you.
And there's an episode of House about training.
You
Condor.
Might be able to get it cured, but if you don't.
Yeah, watch out.
And the trained condor, in a lot of cases, it can get in for two on its own. If you have big creatures to attack with, then, you know, it might push through that last damage better than Pitchburn Devils does anyway. So, I think this one's pretty close, but,
good pairing.
I think it's a good pairing. All right, let's do one more.
All right, bring it on.
One more.
Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on.
The movie.
Ranger's Guile.
Oh,
okay. Yep. Okay.
Well.
Versus Academy Raider.
Academy Raider.
What?
So Ranger's Guile says target creature you control gets +1/+1 and hexproof until end of turn. Academy Raider is a 3-mana 1/1 with intimidate.
Okay, if either of those
and
are your win conditions.
Whenever you deal combat damage, you can discard a card
you
to
guys,
draw a card.
You can sound incredulous. I watched Academy Raider win a game for someone the other day.
Oh.
With looting. It was insane.
Right. So the Ranger's Guile is obviously not a win condition at all.
No.
At most, it's going to do one extra damage or trade for one card or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Academy Raider can get in for a bunch of damage, soften your opponent up, let you draw cards like Pitchburn Devil, Volcanic
nice.
Geyser, lets you get rid of lands or cards that you don't need and draw better cards.
All right, but only in some cases.
That's true.
It does need to be playing against a non-red opponent.
Yep.
But still, it's pretty sweet. It can be pretty sweet.
It's certainly
conditional, and I mean, all win conditions are conditional.
I probably wouldn't main deck it, but I'd put it in.
You wouldn't main deck Academy Raiders?
I think if you were running a red deck and you didn't main deck an Academy Raiders, you'd better have some really good stuff you're playing.
Well, I do in this hypothetical situation.
In this hypothetical situation, you
I would put in one Academy Raiders. I think in any red deck.
Even if your opponent was playing red?
Well, I don't know what my opponent is playing when I make my deck.
That's what I'm saying. Sideboard.
And then, if my opponent was red, I would probably sideboard it out.
Oh, okay.
And if they're not red, I would sideboard more in.
Nice. Got it. Because you can get those guys late.
Sure.
Yeah. Thanks for this fun game, Ben.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Wait, should we do one more so we don't end on that crappy one?
Sure.
Let's try for a better ending to this.
All right.
That was a good pair up.
The cards are Messenger Drake.
Ooh, Messenger Drake.
This is a 5-mana 3/3 with flying, and when he dies, you can draw a card.
Nice.
Or Flesh Pulper Giant. This is a 7-mana 4/4. When it enters the battlefield, you may destroy target creature with toughness 2 or less.
We talked about Flesh Pulper Giant on the show last week, everybody.
Maria was saying she'd always be happy to have one.
I would, but I don't know if it's a win condition. You know what I mean? I think it's good. I think it's solid. Put it in your red deck, sure. But
I think Messenger Drake is
more of a win condition.
Because
it has flying.
It has evasion, yeah.
Evasion.
So I look at these two cards and I think of basically the same thing we were looking at before with Trained Condor and Pitchburn Devils. On the one hand, you have a card that's more likely to win you the game. On the other hand, you have a card that's more likely to give you an advantage in the game.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Sweet.
So
interesting.
If you have a deck that needs to be able to get those advantages, then maybe Flesh Pulper Giant's better. But if you have a card that's already, you know, you got a lot of walls, whatever, you're going to lock down the board, then you'd probably rather have the Messenger Drake.
Yeah.
Nice.
Fair enough.
Got it.
What do you guys, so let's just imagine. Let's think of all the cards in M14. Why don't you pick out the best non-rare card in each color in terms of win conditions?
What? I don't know them well enough.
Just pick one.
Non-rare. Can it be uncommon?
Yeah.
I like Shiv's Embrace.
Shiv's Embrace, okay. What does it do?
That's a sweet card.
That gives...
It's +2/+2, and you can pay a red for flying.
Yeah, +2/+2, pay a red to give it fire breathing.
Yep.
No, flying.
It has flying.
Oh.
And you pay red to give it plus one, plus zero.
Yes.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, so that's a great...
That card's even better than I remember.
It's a great win condition for red. You can put it on a creature. You usually are attacking for four or five right away.
Yeah.
And then later you turn it into a dragon. You can pump for even more.
Yep.
It absolutely forces them to have an answer.
Yes.
It has to be a pretty good one. They need, like, usually Liturgy of Blood. Maybe Quag Sickness will do it.
Yeah.
Maybe a way to bounce it, get rid of the enchantment. Yeah, I'd say that's probably one of the best.
Green, what's the behemoth? Like the woodborn behemoth or something like that? It's a 4/4 when you cast it, but if you have 8 lands...
Oh, then it's an 8/8.
It's an 8/8 trampler.
Yep, that's a lot of inevitability.
That's like a, aw, shit.
Usually you're not even going to be able to triple block and trade for that.
No way. If my opponent plays that, I'm just like, hot damn, I hope they never get to 8 lands.
Hot damn.
Mm-hmm. Making it saucy when she plays.
Okay, so what about white? What's a good win condition in white?
Oh. Is there? Angel?
Sarah Angel is fine.
I think Sarah Angel is the best.
Okay. Blue? So,
I will say that in a pinch, even something like Siege Mastodon, which is just a 3/5, can be okay. If your opponent's not playing green, then it's pretty hard for them to find creatures that can block other than like maybe a Wall of Frost or something.
Nice.
So black and blue.
Blue, I like Air Servant.
Yep.
Blue, that's a good blue card.
Air Servant's great. Not only is he a 4-power flyer, which is a very fast clock, but you can pay 3 mana to tap down any other flyer, meaning he's got like double evasion.
He's got evasion for flyers.
Yeah.
Black, I'd say maybe like Sengir Vampire.
For sure.
Yeah, I would say Sengir Vampire as well.
He's got creepy fingernails.
Look at those things.
Those are terrifying. Like, it's not his face that's the scariest thing in this picture.
Because he's got an earring.
I think his hands would make a great umbrella holder.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that.
I mean...
He's a 4-power flyer.
Yeah.
And he's pretty hard to block, and if you try to chump him, he just gets worse.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
So how about purple? What do you guys like in purple?
I like Rod of Ruin.
No, you don't.
Actually, I think Rod of Ruin's not a terrible card.
How many creatures are there? See, you can pay 3 and tap it, and it deals 1 damage to target creature or player. It costs 4 to cast. It's uncommon. So there are a lot of creatures with 1 toughness in this
set. That's true. There are plenty of creatures. Or it can finish something off.
Yeah, it also lets you trade up. So if you have a 2-power thing, you can block a 3 toughness creature and then do 1 additional damage.
That's still really expensive pinging.
It's pretty expensive, but being able to do 1 damage a turn is pretty useful if you don't have anything else to do for your mana. You definitely want it in a controlling deck as opposed to an aggressive deck.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay.
Nice.
That's everything you ever need to know for the rest of your life about wind conditions.
If you would like to know about wind conditioners,
you
can visit the website www.windconditioner.com.
Wind conditioner.
Guys, I once met a guy who sold conditioner for people that did a lot of scuba diving.
What? That's a thing. That sounds like a thing.
What, like in a pool? So because they had a lot of chlorine in their hair?
No, specifically scuba diving.
You know, I didn't really ask him.
Ben.
Why?
Guys, it's not really my thing.
Was he a door-to-door salesman?
He was not at my door. No. I met him at a luncheon.
Interesting.
We were at a luncheon.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Okay.
He was at a scuba diving convention, so I don't know why I was so surprised.
I just don't know what was so different. What's so different about scuba diving that you need a specific conditioner?
I mean, the salt.
Is it the salt?
I guess.
The sea anemones?
I hate when I try and shower and there's just sea anemone all over my hair.
And you also want your hair to be really... like smooth so it doesn't get tangled in coral.
I hate when I scuba dive and my hair gets tangled in coral.
First world problems.
Where do I get some of this scuba diving conditioner? I was just gonna mention this real quick because someone tweeted this at us and it is relevant to what we talked about last week when we were talking about equipments versus enchantments. Someone tweeted us.
At MTAcast.
At MTAcast. Would we rather have, and this is in a hypothetical world because they're not in the same set, a behemoth sledge or an unflinching courage?
What?
A behemoth sledge is from Alara Reborn. It's an uncommon. It costs one colorless, a green, and a white. So same casting cost. But it's an artifact equipment. Equip for 3. Equipped creature gets +2/+2 and has lifelink and trample.
Oh. Well, that's a good question.
So it's essentially the equipment version of Unflinching Courage. Yep.
And you can see it costs the same.
Yeah.
Yes.
But then it also has the equip cost, which is the same.
Yes.
So last week what we were talking about was that equip cost is the price you pay. Mm-hmm. You have to basically pay the cost twice the first time.
Yeah, or you have to pay its casting cost and its equipping cost.
I'm going to go with Behemoth Sledge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather have Behemoth Sledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But real answer is it depends on how aggressive your deck is. If your deck is very aggressive, you might only need one or two hits with... Yeah.
You might want to be able to throw down that Unflinching Courage on turn 3 or turn 4 and not have to wait a turn to equip it to something.
I don't know. I think it's worth it to wait.
In a super aggressive deck?
But I come from a Catholic family.
Maria, I think you're lying.
You're right. You guys were Lutherans.
Yes.
I come from a Catholic family.
Do you?
Do you?
Yes.
Oh. I never knew.
Me neither.
This is why I have over 50 cousins.
Card of the week.
Card of the week.
My card of the week is Wall of Frost, basically because I want to know, Ben, do you think this card is good?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, how many is too many? 3? Because that's how many I had.
Yeah, 3 might be too many. You want, like, diversity of answers in your deck, and Wall of Frost is, you know, it's really good against, like, big red and green creatures, and it's not as good against, say, flyers or... things with Intimidate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, putting 3 in, like, putting, like, what does 3 get you that 1 doesn't get you? You know what I mean? The second,
yeah, yeah.
The second one is a lot worse than the first one. And the third one is even worse.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
My card of the week is Auromancer.
Mm.
Yeah. Not always a good card, but in an enchantments deck, I mean, really solid, I think, because I tried to play a guy the other day who had Divine Favors and Auromancer, and I killed the same Divine Favor 3 times.
Whoa.
And he just kept bringing that fucker back.
Aww.
Auromancer, side note, I love that art.
It's also really pretty.
Yeah.
It's a very pretty card, and it's a solid 2/2 for 2.
Mm.
So, you know what? At the very least, you're getting a body. That's a lie.
That's what I say at the end of the night. Going up to the bar. You know what? At least I'm getting a body.
Worst case. Worst case.
Worst case scenario.
Someone is alive.
Worst case, I'm getting a body.
All 2/2s for 2 look the same in the dark.
You killed Ben.
Okay.
No matter what their other endowments are,
yeah,
they look the same in the dark.
Nothing's worse than fumbling in the dark and be like, I thought you were a 2/2.
I won one.
Oh, gosh.
Shit, this is illegal.
What did I do? I can't believe I picked you 3rd.
Hey, fuck you. Ben, do you have a card of the week?
My card of the week is... Nope.
Okay.
Don't have one.
All
that's
right.
Just
that's
fine.
That's fine.
Euphemism of the week. Megan, hit us.
Woo! I have one, and then Ben, you have one today as well, right?
Do I?
We'll find out.
Never mind. I liked Child of Night.
Oh.
But that's a sneak preview. Anyways, Trollhide.
Oh.
Which is a Norseman's foreskin.
I love that.
Priceless.
Oh, I love that. Okay, I've got one for Child of Night.
He still got his force. Does he still have his troll head?
Do I?
I'm just saying.
I've got
it's
it somewhere.
It's a question.
It's in a jar on a shelf.
Gross.
My euphemism for child of night is when you get up in the middle of the night because you really have to take a small poop. Child of night.
I like it. Nice.
But it has to be pretty small.
My euphemism of the week is lay of the land.
Ooh.
Nice.
This is when you do it while camping.
Nice.
And to be honest, isn't that why you went camping in the first place?
Yeah. Or I think it could also be someone who's just, like, the best in bed. It's just like, hey, how was he? Oh, he was the lay of the land.
Throughout all of the 7 known kingdoms.
Also, exactly. Love the art on Lay of the Land.
I don't remember.
They could have phoned that art in. I don't think they did.
Nice. I always like it when they don't phone the art in.
If you have a euphemism of the week, send us an email at magicthemateuring@gmail.com or shoot us a message on themeatery.org. Well, everybody, that's our show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And if you didn't enjoy it, go fuck yourself.
Get a massage.
Get a massage.
Get a couple's massage.
Ben is teaching me to be a more accepting and loving person.
If you don't have a couple, just
get a massage
and ask them if they'll play our podcast during the massage. They have to say yes. It's California state law.
Yep. MTA cast playable by California state law.
I would love if our podcast was what was on during everybody's massage and massage clinic.
That would be amazing.
I want to break into a massage clinic take out their stupid CD that they always have playing, shatter it, put this in, and they play it, and Len Still My Sunshine comes on. Oh, perfect.
Hmm. Listener, please, if you've been contemplating getting a massage, we dare you to ask them to play our podcast.
Yes.
While you get that.
And then get a written note from your masseuse and photograph it and send it to us.
Yeah. Send it to us.
But we're going to be up on themeatery.org every week. Come and say hi and read our articles.
Woo. Yay.
Find us on Magic Online. I am Ice Cream Socialist.
I'm horny_unicorny.
And I'm Middle Schooler.
Yeah. And you guys, next week, where are we going to be?
We're going to be at Gen Con.
Gen Con.
We're going to be at Gen Con. And in 2 weeks, where are we going to be?
Back here in Minneapolis.
Except I'm going to be at Grand Prix Oakland.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, snap. That's
cool.
Right.
So if you're planning on going to Grand Prix Oakland, maybe I'll see you there.
Ooh, neat.
Nice.
Remember to follow our Twitter at MTAcast if you want to do a meetup with us at Gen Con. We'll come and say hi.
Mm.
Yeah.
Play a few games with you if you want. We'll be wandering around. So, yeah. Follow us on Twitter to find out where we'll be.
Sweet.
Sweet.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye, dudes. I'll miss you.